Lord, we pray that as we open your word and reflect upon it, that your Holy Spirit would come to us and that you would speak your living word into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I worked out roughly how many sermons I've preached here, and it's roughly about 700. I can't remember many of them, and I doubt you will too, to be honest. But I hope this last one gives you some encouragement as you enter into a new season, post me and post Jody. The Apostle Paul, who often gets a hard press nowadays, especially for some of his more sort of patriarchal tendencies in our more feminist age, is still one of my heroes. And as he says in verse 5 of the passage that we just heard read by Barbara, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." And that's a good marker, a good guideline for us, to preach Christ, to point to him as our Lord. I'm in the last week here, so I could be a little bit controversial if I want. We've got the coronation coming next Saturday, and there's going to be a new part of the coronation service where you can pledge loyalty or fealty to the king or whatever. And I have problems with that, and I think I believe more like the Scottish Covenanters who said, "No king but King Jesus." But yeah. Maybe that's going a bit too far for some of you. But I think here we should put the emphasis on Christ, that he is our Lord, he is our King. And it's also not about us. We at the end of the day are just servants for Jesus' sake. That puts us in our right place. We are not the centre of attention. The central focus is Christ as our Lord. And I would hope that during my 9 years that I've tried to preach Christ, pointed to him in word and action. And I would say, keep him as your focus, as your center, as you move into the future. And he will lead and guide you. Like Paul, I've tried to be your servant for Jesus' sake, for the sake of his community where he has placed me for this season, to take my part within the body of Christ. We, you, all of us belong to him. And it is not my church, it's his church. I always hate it when you hear ministers talking about my church as if it's their own personal possession. My church does this, or we do this at my church. And I know it's a lazy way of saying things in some respects, but I've always been reluctant to use that language, because at the end of the day, the church belongs to Christ, and it is his church. And that's the right emphasis to have. When a minister leaves or goes elsewhere, you don't cease to be the body of Christ. You're still his church. You still belong to him, and that's important to remember. I also hate that phrase, the Latin phrase, sort of interregnum or whatever. You know, I think it's a horrible phrase, really, as if there's something missing. And there is, in some sense, perhaps something missing in some respects, but God has still given gifts to all of you that you'll use in different ways. In some ways, during times of transition's a better phrase, rather than interacting. During times of change and transition, it's also an opportunity for people to step forward and to discover gifts that God has given them that maybe they haven't used or they haven't even discovered. So don't see this as a void or a lack, but also see it as an opportunity in which people can step forward and explore doing different things that they hadn't done before. Not last week, but the week before was my mum's funeral up in Edinburgh. And it's still quite a raw season for me in some respects. And I'm not really sure if it's really hit me that my mum has died at this point. But as I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded at the funeral of my brother, who's quite, he's a consultant haematologist, but he's quite a strong and convinced atheist. And we often have theological and philosophical discussions about things. But instead of quoting from the Bible, he would quote from the canon of the Proclaimers. And he used a song by the Proclaimers at my mum's funeral when he did his little eulogy bit. And he quoted a line from a song called "Then It Comes to Me." And the song says this: "We're only here for a short while. Makes me think of a quiz. I wonder how you measure what a short while is." We do like our quizzes here at Carey, and that's often part of our worship. And a short while for my mum was 80 years. And a short while for me here at Carey was 9 years. We need to be reminded that we are all pilgrims, and in this life we are passing through. And we're never staying in the one place forever. And my time here amongst you is drawing to a close. But I would like to take this opportunity, I said it last night, but it's good to say it again to those who weren't there, to thank you all for your love and support and prayers over the last 9 years. And to say also that when I move up to North Shields in the northeast, I will carry you with me and I will continue to pray for you. The congregations that I've served in the past, both in Milton Keynes and in Nicaragua and in Stevenage, I always pray for them weekly and remember them. And I will take you into my thoughts and prayers. Because even though I'm moving away, we are still interrelated, united in Christ. There is a sort of web that unites us together through the Holy Spirit, which can never be broken. Jody was talking a bit about seeing God's glory, his goldenness, his beauty in that sense. But that raises the question, what is God like? And in verse 6 it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." There is a real sense in which it's an experiential reality that God shines his lights into our hearts. Within us there is the presence of God's glory and God's light. Teresa of Avila, the 16th century Spanish mystic, used to talk about the interior castle that within each of us, there's sort of different rooms, and that God takes up his dwelling in the center of each of us. But do we really believe that? Do we believe that God has actually lives within us, has taken up his residence within us? Sometimes it's hard to believe that such beauty and such glory does live within us. But I'm sure it does. But how practically can we see what God is like? It says in the second part of verse 6 that the light of the knowledge of God's glory is displayed in the face of Christ. Whenever I struggle to figure out what God is like, I look to Jesus and thank God that he reveals there his true nature and true character. I really think that if God had not revealed himself in Jesus, in the human face of God, and showed us what God was really like, then I would probably be like my brother and be an atheist. But Jesus, and looking at him, convinces me of the reality of God and his love for us, and the extent to which he is prepared to go to draw us back to himself, to reconcile us to himself. And the gift that God gives us is the treasure of Christ himself to live within us. In verse 7, it talks about where we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Jars of Clay. They were a Christian band. Anyone remember Jars of Clay? Simon's nodding, but most of the rest of you probably don't know. We played at Greenbelt once, but Jars of Clay, or other people put it, cracked pots. And we're all cracked pots in some ways, that we are broken. But it is through our brokenness that God shines and comes to live within us. We are made of dirt, or perhaps stardust, or of the earth, but like pots. But God chose to come and live within the fragile vessels that we are. We are broken. We're not perfect pots. We're pots with cracks and holes within it. But that's how God shines in us and through us. It reminds me of a song by Leonard Cohen, the Canadian songwriter. He's quite depressing, a lot of his music, but I like him. But then I have a melancholic streak within myself as well. But he has a song called Anthem. And some of you may be familiar with some of these words. It says, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I would change his lyrics a bit. It wouldn't be quite as poetic, but I will also say that is how the light gets out too. Because the light is in us, and through our cracks and through our brokenness, it's shed out into the world as well. And when we think about brokenness, Paul goes on to describe his experience, both individually and collectively, of the community in Corinth, where he says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I think that sums up how we feel at times, individually in our own lives and as a church. One of the commentators that I was reading summed it up in being knocked down, but not knocked out. A bit like a boxer who gets knocked down, but I get knocked down, but I get up again. Remember that one by Chumbawamba? That's a bit what it's like. We do get knocked down by life, but we get back up again because the life of Christ is within us. I think all of us, individually and as a church community, the last few years we've taken our knocks as a pandemic has hit us in different ways, and the social isolation and the problems that that has caused. And if we're honest, individually as a community here, and the church in general has not fully recovered from that. Even big churches are still noticeably smaller than they were pre-COVID. And I think we all live with that. And we do live in a culture which isn't that open to issues of faith and to being a disciple of Jesus. We can feel like we're swimming against the tide and that it is hard work at times. Paul talks about carrying the death of Christ within him in verses 10 and following. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. For then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. There is a sense in which we do carry around the death of Christ within us, but there is also the resurrection that shines forth in our lives at the same time. The death and the resurrection of Jesus were for our benefit and the benefit of everyone. In 15 he says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Talking about the grace of God which is at work and is reaching more and more people. That grace is there for everyone. And when someone receives that and acknowledges that, then thanksgiving goes up to God. Because it's potentially there for everyone, but not everyone discovers that for themselves. And it's our job to share that good news of God's grace, his unmerited favor, his unconditional love shown to us in and through Christ and his death and resurrection. And if we're honest, we're not always very good at sharing that message. I know I feel inadequate sometimes when it comes to sharing my faith with friends and family, and often can't find the words to do it justice. But still, like broken pots, cracked pots, we do have that light within us that we want to share with others, so that they can experience the love and kindness of God. When I was thinking about this passage, the words of Graham Kendrick's song, Rejoice, Rejoice, and I'm not saying rejoice, 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 Stuart's leaving, not in that sense. Some of you might feel like that, but most of you probably not. But the words are very pertinent when he says, rejoice, though we are weak, his grace is everything we need. We need to be reminded of that, that his grace is everything we need. We are made of clay, but his treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses, and we have plenty of those, don't we, into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice. Christ is in you, the hope of glory in your heart. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army. We arise, we arise. Let us pray. Father, we do feel our own brokenness, our own weakness. Help us to remember that your treasure, your very presence, lives within us, and that we carry it with us. We carry it to others. We pray that your glory and that your love would shine in and through our brokenness, that others would catch a glimpse of your Son in us and come to know his love, his mercy and forgiveness for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.